Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Titus, the book of Titus, as we consider here our continuing consideration about teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, and the ministers of our Lord. Brother Paul's writing to Brother Titus here, and we've taken a look here at his introduction. We've taken a look at these qualifications. Again, the same as he gave to Brother Timothy. There, our brother is in this assignment. We took a look about where we see Brother Titus. He is a Greek and a Gentile that's been saved and having known the Apostle Paul way back, seemingly from where the Apostle Paul and Brother Titus meet. And he's given him an assignment. We're going to see about that here this afternoon. He's given him an assignment there on the island of Crete. We pick it up here about the qualifications that he's given for ministers, for pastors of churches, elders, as it's declared here. When you see that word elder, you see bishop in that capacity of leading a church, pastoring a church. I believe that there are, you know, we don't believe in an elder system where there would be elders that do the thinking and the deciding for the church. But we do have elders in the church from the standpoint of brethren that have been saved for many, many years and maybe active in the work of the church and such as that, holding office or maybe deacons and such as that. But certainly the reference here is for pastors, and there's qualifications that the Lord gives, and he gives them for a reason. And these are the qualifications that if there ever would be a man, well, the church here, being your pastor, being a member of this church, but yes, being your pastor, it is up to you to make sure that I meet these qualifications. If there ever would be a man that would surrender to the ministry and would be looking towards pastoring a church, ultimately it would be our job to qualify him that he meets these moral qualifications. That's the working that is there. The calling is of the Lord to the man, and it is the Lord and the church, the Lord through the church, qualifies the man and sanctions the man to go to this work. That's the way that it works. If we short circuit any of that, we make a recipe for disaster. And that is just the way that is. The Lord knows what he's doing. Verse number 9, he says that these must hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught. And it's good to be taught. What's good when you're taught is to learn, to gain ground. That's what we need to do. As we're taught, we need to gain ground. And we learn from our Lord and his word, namely, but the Lord uses us, one another, in just different things, our discussion, the teaching in the church, the discussion that we have, and teaches us things that the Lord teaches each of us individually, and we share that one with another. A pastor, a minister in the church is to be a teacher and a preacher, a proclaimer of God's word. He says these men must hold fast the faithful word of God as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, sound teaching, that's what that word doctrine means, the stand of God, what God thinks, what the Lord gives us, that his thinking in his word, to both exhort and convince the gainsayers, the doubters. That's what gainsaying means, is those that doubt and quarrel against the truth. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Do you hear that? Same kind of thing that Brother Paul was warning Brother Timothy about. These words, fables, and vain words, and cankerous words. Those are the references that we see in the epistles to Brother Timothy. It's the same kind of things. Those that talk down what God says. There's many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. There are those, the deceived and the deceivers are going to get worse and worse in the latter days. And we've got, you know, look at it. My, how many religions are there? I mean, there is an innumerable number of religions and ways and cults and all kinds of variants and different things. You can find out there anything you want. And they're deceiving people. And people are being deceived. It's emptiness, is it not? For there are many unruly and vain talkers. They're unruly talkers speaking about things they don't know anything about. And there is emptiness in it, and they are deceiving and being deceived, deceivers. You know how you and I guard against deception? Well, Brother Jim, we've got to go out and learn all their tricks and all their tactics and all the things that they purport and what they put out, right? We need to learn what's going on with them. We need to investigate this and that. You know, no. Don't waste your time on that. A lot of times we learn more than we even ought to learn about wicked ways and vain ways and such as that. You know how to guard against deception? Know the truth. Know the truth. If you know the truth, you can take the Lord Jesus and you can take the truth up here, and then this thing that comes in, this spirit that's in the world, and you can take it and compare it up against that. So, well, that doesn't go together. You just throw that away and push it away. He says here, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Listen to this, especially they of the circumcision. He's speaking of the Jews. Now, here's a man that's a Greek, and he's going to be dealing with Jews in the churches there at Crete that are talking up what? Works of the law. Judaism for salvation, circumcision to complete salvation in men, all that kind of thing. He says, especially they of the circumcision. He says, now listen to this speech. Listen to this speech. And we're going to we're going to take what the brother is given by the Lord and these inspired words. Listen to this speech. And then we're going to take what he says later and we're going to compare the two and try to have an understanding about how they agree. Okay? Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So he says, I mean, listen to that, whose mouths must be stopped. Now, he's not talking about Titus brushing up on his fist fighting and martial arts skills and all that and whacking these guys. He's not talking about that. But the language is strong about stopping their mouths. What their mouths need to be stopped with is the good word of God. How what they are purporting doesn't line up with the word of God. I believe men ought to keep the Ten Commandments and they will be saved. Well, we go to the Word of God and the Word of God says there's none righteous, no, not one. And man is not justified by the works of the law. We're talking about the salvation of the soul. That's how it's done. Chapter and verse. God has said, thus saith the Lord. Their mouths must be stopped. He said it's an urgent thing. We see here on the Isle of Crete, there south of Greece, that there's a dire situation. Can you imagine being the man sent? Can you imagine being Titus sent by the apostle to do this work? How could one man, maybe accompanied by a man or two, as Paul was, maybe he had some men that went with him, Brother Titus, but the charge is to him to go to this island and deal with this thing in multiple churches. Think about that for a while. How could he do it? Only by the power of God. Only by the power of the Lord. How can a man pastor? Only by the power of the Lord. Only by the strength of the Lord. He said, these unruly and vain talkers, their mouths must be stopped because they subvert whole houses. They'll take a whole family and turn them away from the truth. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They do it for money. For money. Are they gaining entrance into the church and then looking for the church to support them? Or are they doing this work at a bribe of Judaizers and the Jews not wanting to see? Because think, in Crete and towns, there was most likely synagogues. And then a church pop up. And in your mind, what did you see? Did you see a church building? Or did you see a group of people? A group of people making a difference, giving testimony that they'd been saved. They may be meeting on the town square or out in the country or at the park or at one another's house. But the thing is the witness that's going out from them is a witness of Christ who's made a difference. Taking, as we see in Asia Minor, and turning the countryside on its ear by virtue of this gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth being preached for the salvation of the soul and the changing of the life, the rescue of the life. Interesting, isn't it? They're doing this for filthy lucre's sake. They're doing it in the Lord's churches. Verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." That's pretty sharp, isn't it? Now he's taking what one of their own has said there on Crete, and he's reiterating that. But you know what? In doing so, the apostle's agreeing to it. He said, it's true. What's it say in the next verse? He says, this witness is true. What do you think? What do you think if a minister or a pastor amongst the Lord's people would declare such a thing? Well, there it was needed. It was needed. And it's not out of the way either. It's the truth that's at hand. Rebuke from the Lord through his men. May the Lord help us, none of us be in a shape that we need that kind of rebuke. Amen? May the Lord help us. He said that the Cretans are always liars. They don't tell the truth. The people of God have been saved from lying. We're to be people of the truth. The Lord's truth, not our own truth, but the Lord, what the Lord says. Truth is big on God's list. Can you say that? Do you believe that? Truth is up there at the top of the Lord's list. The Lord's going to make the truth come out in everything. I think that is very much an integral part of the judgments, is that the truth, the thoughts of men's hearts revealed, the scripture says. They're going to be told. It's going to be borne out. Jesus himself said it. You've whispered it in the closet. It's going to be proclaimed on the housetop. Be careful what we say. Be careful what we say all the time, because the Lord knows. He says they're always liars, evil beasts. Wow, man, that is really strong, isn't it? That is strong. The Cretans are evil beasts. Is this maybe a reference to what they've been saved from? And, you know, what we've been saved from, speaking as a man, is the tendency we're going to have to return to. Being saved from the things that we have been saved from, those things can be the tendency for us to return to. Having claimed the name of Christ, having claimed salvation, we can have the people that claim to be saved, and the Lord's can say, "No, I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm going to go back." Maybe like those, maybe wayward and backslidden. Maybe like those two types of ground that were in the thorny ground or the stony ground. Evil beasts, evil beasts. I tell you what, that is really, really strong. He said, "Slow bellies." What do you think about slow bellies? It's talking about laziness, isn't it? I believe it's talking about laziness, not wanting to work, not wanting to provide for own, not wanting to be diligent in the things of life for the sake of the glory of God. Work has been invented by God for us. That means all of us have work to do. All of us have work to do, and we need to be diligent in it. We need to fill our days with the work that we have to do. And so here, this is the reputation that the Cretans have by their own prophet. He said, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, of the Cretans, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. In their laziness, do they make excuse and lies for not doing so? In their wicked ways, do they lie and make excuse and try to make a reality that is not the true reality, justification for the things that are done." That's the way it is with man. This witness is true, verse 13. "Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Can you imagine such a group of people that they need strong rebuke by a pastor, and they need it often so that they might be sound in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the ministry Brother Titus is called to. How many want to jump into that? Raise your hands. How many want to go there? No, don't send me there. Don't send me there. But that's what our brother is sent to. He said, get this witness is true. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. And where's the rebuke come? Is it going to come from Brother Titus's opinion? I tell you what, Brother Titus's opinion will fail. I've come to see that and understand that my opinion will fail. It's what the Lord says that will stand. Always better to give chapter and verse to the issue and let people take it up with God, with our Lord and his good, rich word. That's where the answer is. That's what Brother Titus is to use as the good word of God. He says here, do so, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Same kind of thing he told Timothy, isn't it? Same kind of thing. He's told Timothy, so he said, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Stand in the word. He said, make your life a pattern of good works according to the word of God. And be that witness unto them. He's telling Brother Titus the same thing. He said, these Jewish fables, it's another word other than the Lord's, isn't it? These commandments of men, it's another word. Jesus, here recently, you've touched on this, that Jesus has said that they took, that the leadership in his day took the commandments of men, teaching it for the word of God, making the word of God of none effect. The word of God, going back decades and centuries from the time of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was these quote unquote all wise Jewish leaders that went to the word of God, and then for whatever their motive was and everything, they made a commentary upon it and unto it, telling and teaching the people how they can please God and abide by God. And the Lord Jesus said by the time it got to his day, what they were teaching and what they were doing made God's word stand over here by itself. It was of none effect. You know what the example was that he gave? An example that he gave, which just really, I mean, it just really cuts to the heart of it. And it's the reason that those fellows hated him in the Lord's day, the Lord's ministry. He said, the scripture says, the Lord says you should honor your father and your mother. But you say, it is Korban. Korban. Capital Corban. You say that by Korban, you can skirt the need of what your mother and your father would have in their old age and say, I've dedicated it to the temple. I've dedicated whatever finances and whatever energy I would use to take care of you, mom and dad. And I've dedicated to the temple, therefore I'm free. And the word of God over there rolled up in the scrolls, over there in Exodus chapter 20, over there reiterated, and I believe in Deuteronomy and Numbers, honor thy father and thy mother. That's still over there in Jerusalem. It's still written over there in the scrolls, but these birds over here says you can take this of Korban and you can be free of God's word. And so he says, don't give heed to Jewish in this rebuke and unto being sound in the faith. Don't give heed to Jewish fables. Don't give heed to the commandments of men. All these turn from the truth. All these make the word of God of none effect. That's the reason we need the word of God in us. And we need to witness with the word of God as we deal with situations and folks in our lives. Verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. If what was said earlier in the rebuke earlier, and that he's giving Brother Titus and the reasons for these things, this right down here really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? He says, to the pure, all things are pure. If somebody's saved and they're dedicated to the things of the Lord and the Word of God, they know their Savior that has saved them, and they know that his Word is a good thing to them. You know what? There's a blessing there. There's a desire there. Yes, I need more of the Lord in me. I need the effect of the Lord more in my life. I am saved by my Lord. I am loved by my Lord. And I need to keep on putting this old man down for my Lord and adopting more of what my Lord has given me. That I'm not perfect, but I want to be like Christ. I want to be perfect. And I know that I got to keep working on adding to my faith. I know I got to keep working to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I know that that as one would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, they see their fault and their failure and their bad attitudes and their bad way, and they despise that in themselves and ask and desire for the Lord to make them more like Christ and less like them. See, understand this walking with the Lord and this mortifying of the flesh and this walking with Christ and in Christ and being touched and changed by him is a lifetime affair. You never arrive. The apostle writes to the church at Corinth, making it very clear that what's at hand and what's necessary is that every thought be brought captive unto Christ. You and I can modify what we do. We can kind of quell a little bit what we say. But I tell you what, dealing with what we think, therein is the challenge. And again, and the scripture does say that the mouth speaks of the abundance of the heart. To the pure, all things are pure. To those that are saved and convicted and resting and trusting and looking to the Lord, they want a good thing. They've got a desire of the Lord within them. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, see, there's the contrast. Yeah, well, Titus, you may have some in the churches there that aren't even saved. You'll have some that will be saved. We see that witness and that testimony all through the epistles to the churches. We see a witness, a touch upon one, on one that is a blessing or has been a blessing to the apostles he writes to those churches, or one that is a minister desiring the help and the care of the church as they would go and help the apostle and then carry the letter back to them. We see that in those epistles. They love the Lord. But there are those that are defiled and unbelieving. We've seen that in his writing to Brother Timothy of those men that he's turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. We've seen men that we believe that were at one time accounted as brethren, but they're not obedient to the Lord now at the time of the closing of the epistle or whatever. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Listen. Without the salvation of the soul, there's no indwelling of the Spirit of God. There may be a facade that is present, trying and grappling to put on a good show, but within what the Lord sees, there is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Why? They're still in their sins. They're still there dealing with their depravity, and that's all they've got. They've got nothing. They've got the old man and the influences of the world and no spiritual understanding whatsoever. Realize that, Brother Titus. They profess that they know God. They have a word that they know God. But in their works, what they do, where they go, they deny. Lord, Lord, have we not? That's what the Lord Jesus says. There'll be many in that day that'll proclaim his name. Lord, Lord, have we not? The thing is, the true acknowledgement of seeing the Lord is, Lord, Lord, have you not? You see what I'm saying? Have you not brought me? Have you not saved me? You have. That's the reason I'm here. You have saved me. They profess that they know God. They give an utterance to it. But if there's an evaluation of the fruit, fruit's just not there. So a look-see into conversion and being dedicated to the Lord. No, they think the same old carnal way that they always have. And their action, and they're moving forward. Every direction that they go, every dealing with every issue at hand. I think that I've seen this even in time, an engagement of the Word of God for the Word, that being what we need to live life, to walk, to be a witness, and engaging, the closer that they would get to the Word of God, the more and more they are repelled by it. They don't want the Word of God. They don't want to witness with the Word of God and the testimony of the Lord. And listen to what he says. I tell you what, it's not that, hey, haven't we arrived and look how bad these are? This is a sad affair. This is a sad, sad thing. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable. That's the way the Lord looks at it. Being disobedient. And into every good work, reprobate. There's no thinking. There's no ability to consider to understand what to do that would be right in the Lord's work. Every good work, reprobate. Brother Timothy was told the same thing, and I find this interesting here. We see in 2 Timothy, quickly, over here in chapter 3, he talks about these that the perilous times will come and men will be lovers of their own selves. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 2, he tells about their characteristics, their attributes. And in verse number 5, we see that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. He tells about some of their works. They look to lead folks away. Verse 7, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And talks about these magicians in Egypt. And what's he say about them? Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. How do you stand with the truth? I mean, I'm not talking about, and the Lord's not talking about regurgitating the truth. But do you love the truth? Does the truth mean something? Is it for real? Is the truth your life and your eternity? Or is the truth something that's in the way? Is the truth something that you got to gingerly deal with so you don't offend anybody? Or is the truth the wonderful thing that makes you tick now? And I'm talking about the truth of the Lord. He is God. We're his creation. We sinned against him and our Father, and we sinned against him ourselves. We need a Savior, and he sent the Savior, and he's the only one that there is. And you know what? I cannot do one thing to please him in this old flesh. Not one. But you know what? He freely gave his Son so a wretch like me could be saved. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. You know, guilt is good. It's not good to have done what makes you guilty, but I tell you what, guilt is good when it's in the right place, because to see that we're guilty helps us to see the need that we have and the Savior that Jesus is. But if we're always, if the person is always wrangling and working themselves to keep God off of their back or to keep God appeased, then the truth is not being lived in. The truth is not being abided by. We're sinners. We need a Savior. We need help and strength and power that we just don't have ourselves. And you know what? We're weak. Face it, we're weak. But you know what? We can only be strong through our Lord. But see, there are those that just don't want to face that they're weak. Because what they have is themselves and this earth and this way of this carnal flesh and carnal existence. And that's all they have. There's no future in that. These are reprobate concerning the faith in 2 Timothy 3:8. They're reprobate concerning the faith in Jesus Christ, the salvation that is of the Lord. And we need to preach it to them and continually tell it and cause the gospel to go out. These in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, verse number 16, these are reprobate concerning every good work. Reprobate concerning the faith in Christ and reprobate concerning every good work. He's going to go into chapter 2 and he says, enough about them, Brother Titus, let's talk about you. And you know, that's the thing is understand, let us not be as the Pharisees and think that we're self-righteous and despise others. Because before the Lord saved us and we were on that path and that road to hell, thank God that there was somebody that the Lord sent to us to preach the gospel to us that we might be saved. Amen. And they need that. We all need the Lord just as much as each one of us need the Lord. You hear? And so let us not ever take a position of being self-righteous. The apostle isn't doing that. But let us take the position that we have a desire for salvation and for help of those who oppose themselves and are wayward. Like he told Brother Timothy, to be a minister and a witness to those that oppose themselves. If I deny the way of salvation in my heart and in my life, I am opposing myself. I'm heading for destruction. So these, as bad as they are, as bad as we were before the Lord saved us, if you understand my meaning, they are not to be despised, but they are to be witnessed to and to be pitied and supplicated for that the Lord would work in them. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's the witness, Brother Titus. The Word of God. Speak that. And it's by that that the Lord has saved sinners and is and will save sinners, even there on the island of Crete. I tell you what, sometimes we might think that we might have, I know my pastor, I think it was my pastor would say, he said, everybody's got the person that they think that the Lord won't save. Everybody's got that hard one that they think is just too hard in ourselves. But yeah, it's not true. Myself, the more they holler, squall, and carry on and rebel and buck against the Lord, I'm glad to see it because I don't mean that in a bad way, but the thing is that's the ones that the Lord does get a hold of and change and save. May the Lord help us. We might be a good witness of our Lord. Tell somebody this week about Christ. Tell somebody this week, just one person this week, what the Lord did for you, how he rescued you. Tell those things that are good for sound doctrines, for sound teaching that are of the Lord and live for him. We're going to see that here in this next chapter that, you know what, we've all got a responsibility here in the church. Brother Paul has given to Brother Titus the things that he needs, even to those old Cretans, how they need to be behaved, how they need to behave for the sake of the Lord that saved them. Because you know what? Each and every one of us are a witness to somebody else. All of us are a witness to somebody else. Somebody's watching. You know for sure who's watching? All these young ones. They're watching. And our fault and our failure, our sin and our transgression, when it comes time to a life that they may be facing something, they'll grab a hold of that and they'll say, "Ah, brother so-and-so, I heard him say it. Sister so-and-so, I saw her do it. That family, they did this or that or the other." They'll grab a hold of it as justification for what they're going to do. May the Lord help us that we might live well, pleasing to the Lord and a good witness to them.